In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. We're going over the readings that we had on Sunday. They're so rich, so beautiful, as we experience the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 19, verses 28 to 40. Jesus proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is on a mountain, Mount Zion. So the only way to get there is to go up to Jerusalem. As he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, that was his favorite prayer place, he sent two of his disciples, and he said, "Go into the village opposite you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tethered on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone should ask you, 'Why are you untying it?' you will answer, 'The master has need of it.'" I know this is still true today. Will you hear the word of God today that the master has need of you? The master has need of you. Will you hear God's word today? Will you allow Jesus to ride on your back? The master has need of you. The master has need of me. He has only one voice, the voice of his people. So those who had been sent went off and found everything just as Jesus had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They answered, "The master has need of it." Again today, the master has need of you. The master has need of me. We are the only gospels that people are going to read. We are the only gospels that, as we proclaim with our life, Jesus Christ is Lord, and with our mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. We are the gospel. We who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The master has need of it. So they brought it to Jesus. This is just something they brought it to. Just bring everything to Jesus. Bring him your heartaches. Bring him your sorrows. Bring him your joys. Bring him everything. Bring everything to Jesus. And they threw their cloaks over the colt and helped Jesus to mount. And as he rode along, the people were spreading their cloaks on the road. And now as he was approaching the slope of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to praise God aloud with joy for all the mighty deeds they had seen. They proclaimed, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." The prophetic word of Zechariah being fulfilled, that the King would come riding on a donkey. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He said in reply, "I tell you, if they keep silent, the very stones will cry out." And let me tell you, the stones were plentiful in the days of Jesus. They were everywhere. They were everywhere. In every field, the stones would cry out. Are you going to allow stones to do your job? "Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna to the Son of David!" Let's continue. The first reading that the church gave us yesterday, from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 50, verse 4 to 7. It's the suffering servant of Yahweh. The Lord has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. Morning by morning, he opens my ear, that I may hear. The servant goes to pray. Morning by morning, he opens my ear, that I may hear. I have not rebelled. Are you rebelling today? Are you not praying today? I have not rebelled, the Lord says. I have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me. Yes, unmercifully did they beat Jesus. My cheeks to those who plucked my beard. Unmercifully did they pluck his beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. And they spat on Jesus Christ. They spat on Jesus Christ. The Lord God is my help. Therefore I will not be disgraced. I have set my face like flint. Yes, he set his face like flint to go up to Jerusalem, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. Ultimately, he would not be put to shame. Blessed be God. Then, from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. This was a song during the days of St. Paul. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, yes. Coming in human likeness and found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death upon a cross. My Lord, God himself clothed in human form, God himself became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, for you, for me, yes, for you. You're not too bad. No one's too bad. For you and for me, he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My Lord, he took upon himself our sins, and he said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Jesus on the cross drew you into his heart. Jesus on the cross drew me into his heart. Now, Luke 22nd, the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill Jesus, for they feared the people. Why do they fear the people? Because Jesus was the healer. Jesus was speaking the word of God. Jesus touched their lives. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of 12. And he went this way and communed with the chief priests and the captains how he might betray Jesus unto them. And they were glad, and they covenanted him to give him money, 30 pieces of silver for Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Very sick, very sick. And you know, I'm telling you, as a priest, as a minister of the Word of God, I'm telling you that you can get rich being a minister of the Word of God, unless you take Jesus seriously into your heart and preach the Word of God uncompromisingly. Yes, uncompromisingly. Not because you want to get rich, not because you want to build a kingdom here on earth, but that you want to spread the Word of God so that people might be saved. Yes, people might be saved. Not that I would build a great home for myself and I would build a great home to preach the Word of God. I preach the Word of God out of a little room in at Holy Rosary. A little room. It's a bed could just barely fit in this little room. This is what I preach from this place. I don't need a big place. I need just a place to read the Scriptures and preach the Word of God. And he promised Judas and sought opportunity to betray Jesus to them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed, the Passover lamb. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where will you want us to prepare it?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when you enter the city, there shall be a man meeting you, bearing a pitcher of water." Men never bore the water. Women got the water. So this would be very, very easy to find out. It's not a needle in the haystack. It's the haystack. You're going to find a man bearing a pitcher of water. "Follow him into the house where he enters in, and you shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber that I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?'" Jesus prophetically knows that this is an upper room and it is a dining room, and he wants to use this room for eating the Passover with his disciples. "And he shall show you a large upper room furnished there, make ready." How did Jesus know these things? Did he go looking about for them? No. He knew these things prophetically. Jesus is the King. Jesus is the suffering servant. Jesus is the prophet. Jesus is the priest. And we continue. "And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles were with him. And he said unto them, 'With desire I have desired and longed to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" Oh yes, Jesus had told them that he was going into Jerusalem, and that he would be rejected by the elders and by the Gentiles, and that he would die. They didn't want to hear it. But again, Jesus tells them, "I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come.' And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The word remembrance is not remember. It is to make present. That the Greek word is to make present. Do this and make present. Make present in me. "Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it was determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed.' And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." This is very sad. It's very sad. They've been with Jesus 3 years at least, and they will still want to know who's the greatest among us. This is very sad. You know, that's why Jesus had to go to the cross, to take the guts out of our heart that wants to be first, that wants to be great. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But it shall not be so with you, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that serves. For whether is greater, he that sits at table or he that serves, is not he that sits at table, but I am among you as one who serves. Jesus is the servant. We remember on the 13th chapter of John how he washes the feet of his apostles. That was the job of the servant, the job of the slave. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, so my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink of my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So he tells them that the 12 apostles would sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But first they have to be servants. First they have to be servants. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. So Peter was going to deny Jesus. Oh, how many times have we denied Jesus? How many times have we denied Jesus? Only God knows. Only God knows. So we continue. But I have prayed for thee that your faith may not fail, that when you have been converted, you are to strengthen your brethren, your brothers. And he said unto them, unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee into prison and to death. This is Peter. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before you three times deny that you know me. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, the three times you deny. I remember being in front of the courts and wanted to get out of it because we were doing rescue work. And I said to the judge, I can't be here. I can't stay here because I have an old mother and an old pastor. And when I left, I realized I did what Peter did. I denied the Lord. And I said to the Lord, I'm sorry that I denied you. He said, you'll have another chance. Thank you, Jesus. And he said unto them, when I sent you without a purse, and without scrip, with no sandals, did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that has a purse, let him take it, likewise his scrip, and he has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy a sword. For I say unto you that this is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. It is enough. And it came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. This was the place where Jesus prayed. This was the place where Jesus prayed, the Mount of Olives. He went back to the Mount of Olives after the Last Supper. And when he was at a place, he said unto them, pray that you not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawing from them about a stone's throw, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus is not talking about dying. He's talking about the cup that he is experiencing in the garden, that he is drawing all men unto himself, and he asks for help. And what happens? The Lord gives him an angel to strengthen him. And he said, Father, if it be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as if drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, because it was heavy. It was heavy, I tell you. It was heavy. It was dark. It was heavy. Jesus drawing us into his broken heart, and said unto them, Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, that you not enter into temptation. And while Jesus spoke, behold, a multitude, many people, that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before him and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said unto Judas, Do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? When they were about him, saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. John tells us his name was Malchus. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer you thus far. And he touched the ear and healed the man. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come with him, Be ye come out against the thief with swords? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour, the power of darkness. Yes, but he was going to break this darkness. He was going to break Satan's back by the very cross that he would mount. Then took they him and led him and brought him to the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld Peter as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And Peter denied it, saying, Woman, I do not even know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, You are also one of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of an hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of truth, this fellow was with Jesus, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what you say. And immediately, while he yet spoke, the cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the cock crows, you shall deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded Jesus, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things they blasphemed against Jesus. We'll continue tomorrow with the passion of Luke. This is our salvation. This week is the week of our salvation. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Vigil, and the Feast of the Resurrection. This is our salvation. Please go to your services this week if you're Catholic. Come to Holy Rosary Thursday and Friday at 7:30 in the evening and Saturday at 8. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The cross is our salvation. We must proclaim Jesus Christ, Him crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. This is our faith, that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and was raised by the Father from the dead. This is our faith, and we need to proclaim it. We need to thank God for what Jesus did for us, because if Jesus didn't do it, we would all be going to hell. Jesus mounted the cross to save you and me from hell. That is reality. That is reality. And how do we respond? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.